Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we want to talk about. Just a quick reminder, this is an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Austin. Austin!
Let's get this done somewhat quick, she says.
We're back at it. And before I forget how to podcast, I wanted to just jump right in.
Okay. So you're in a different place.
I am. It's been a couple weeks since we had our last episode, but I'm all moved. I'm in a new apartment now, so thank God the majority of that hell was accomplished. It's over.
I haven't seen it. I have not seen the finished product.
It's still a work in progress.
Okay, I want to see. Give me a tour right now. Lift up your laptop and just walk around.
Oh, no. I'm attached. There's cords and wires everywhere. I'm attached.
Oh, boy.
I'll FaceTime you a little later and you can see the disaster. But it's in that beginning stage. You know, you got to unpack everything. You got to figure out where stuff goes, what fits the best.
Ugh, I'm still in that phase over here.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'll be moving again before I even unpack, but... You know, as you're going through a new place for the first time, you're, like, learning where to put stuff and how things fit and, like, all the quirks of your new setup. I did discover something that I am annoyed about, though.
Okay.
Apparently, cabinets, you know, in the kitchen where you store, like, dishes and glassware and stuff, I thought it was all standardized and that they were a certain depth, but apparently these cabinets do not fit a standard 12-inch dinner plate.
What in the actual fuck?
I know.
So where do you put your plates?
Well, that's a good question, because as of right now, they're in there, but the door doesn't close all the way.
Oh, my God. Okay, we're going to figure something out. We got to figure out some sort of weird contraption.
You wouldn't believe my face when I'm, like, tired. I'm like, okay, finally, I can sit. I just have to unpack my glasses and dishes, and I can eat something here for the first time. And then I go to put my goddamn plates in the cabinet, and it doesn't even close all the way.
Well, these are new-ish apartments.
I know.
Like what? Would you say 2000s?
Probably. It's definitely not like the 70s like my other place.
Like my current place.
I'm going to have to get vertical plate stands.
That's what I was thinking.
It's just one of those things. I'm like, okay, well, I guess you can't have everything because fucking cabinets don't even close.
Has anything gone missing yet?
I'm sure there's something that I'm not going to be able to find at some point. But then again, if you're not thinking about it and you never really realize it's missing, how important was it? I do know a couple of like just little things like screws to certain things that... Oh, this picture frame lost this, or oh, this hook thing lost a screw. I did lose the dowels of my table, so I can't put my tabletop on.
I hate dowels.
I know.
They're so easily breakable. They're so annoying.
I know. I'm sure it got lost somewhere in the parking lot or in the moving truck or something, but it's all these little things. I'm like, oh, shit, where's that cord gone?
Exactly. It's the cords and the...
That's what I'm struggling with at the moment. I'm trying to have a good system... Where I'm like, okay, everything's in a place now that I know where it is, but then I go and look for it and it's gone. So I'm like, okay, well.
Well, whatever. Speaking of bags of stuff, has Josh looked at those bags I gave him?
Oh, right. Yes, actually. Austin was very generous. He had some clothing and things that he no longer needed.
Yeah, like 20 years worth of clothes I no longer fit into because I'm bigger than I used to be.
Well, Josh is actually very thrilled and excited. He tried on a couple things, and they fit really well, and he's very pleased.
I thought they would. That's why I thought of him.
We got halfway through. We got one of the two bags done this morning. I'm sure he'll be reaching out and telling you thank you, but I will just say thank you for him right now since we're talking about it. Speaking of Goodwill, we do have to go and drop some stuff off, but y'all, guys, don't sleep on Goodwill. I found some really awesome clothes there last weekend.
Now I need a whole new wardrobe to replace what I'm giving
away.
We
should totally go. Oh my God, can we go?
Yes, absolutely. I'm begging you.
Let's go. I'm like obsessed. We got to find a good one though. One with a fitting room because the one I went to didn't have a fitting room.
That's the difficult part.
I'm not sure all of them do.
And they don't.
How are you supposed to find, like, how are you supposed to pick something out and be like, oh yeah, that'll fit? You can't. What's been new with you, Austin?
Oh God. Well, I've not been editing at all. So I've had like ample free time that I normally don't have. In the last 4 years or so. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you guys may not understand this, but it's kind of a lot to edit And Austin does the bulk of it, so we love Austin here. Thank him very much for that. So, we had a fun, interesting weekend.
Oh, yeah. Tell the story.
You want to talk about... Oh, you want me to tell the story?
Well, I'm kind of responsible for this.
You are responsible. You are 100% responsible.
I know. I don't want to take credit because it was...
kind of.
It's my bad.
Austin. Maybe Austin wants to tell the story because I'm kind of interested to see how he's going to cover his butt.
Oh, I'll tell you exactly how I'm going to cover my butt. I'm going to blame Leslie. Okay. Because Leslie...
Oh, my God. Our friend Leslie.
Leslie was like, let's do something. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? And she was like, I don't know. What do you want to do? And I'm like, put me on the spot. And I thought of a long time ago, Jacob was telling Alex and I on the podcast about an arcade they had discovered. And I was like, let's do the arcade. And Leslie was like, can we do a different arcade? And I was like, okay, I guess. So I end up Googling arcades and I find one in the old mall from the 80s. I was like, let's do that one. I think they have Mario Kart, like the Mario Kart arcade game.
Oh, God.
And I was mistaken. I don't know where I got that info from.
You were conflating it with the other arcade that did have Mario Kart, by the way.
But not the one Leslie knows of. It was a completely different arcade.
Yeah, well, I don't know why she picked that one. I mean, had she ever been to that specific one before?
Well, I guess I kind of picked it. But we went to the mall in a fairly large group of people. And, ooh boy, that mall has seen some better times. I have not been to this mall. This was my high school mall.
This was both of our high school malls.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
We used to live over in the same
I forgot place. We grew up near each other and didn't know it.
Okay, just for really quick aside for anybody who doesn't know, Austin and I met as late teens, young adults in college. We went to the same college. That's where we met through a mutual, at the time, friend.
But we grew up 20 minutes away from each other.
And had no idea, of course. I mean, it's kind of a funny thing to be like, oh my God, where are you from? Oh, I'm from here. Oh my God. Like, it wasn't completely different parts of the state or anything. Like,
I wonder if our paths ever crossed. Probably not.
I always think of that. I always think of like, hey, were we ever like in the same place and never knew it? But who knows?
Anyway, this mall is, y'all. And this was like the big mall of like the time. And it's...
God, it's like dead.
It's dead. They didn't have the air conditioning on.
In the worst possible place to not have air conditioning.
Oh my God. And we heard stories about how the mall did not pay the power bill, so they had no power for days recently.
Wait, was that was true?
That was true.
Holy shit. So that's probably why.
I remember that happening. It was like on like social media and stuff. People are like, oh,
it's
God.
It's a failing mall that has weird stores that we certainly didn't like grow up with these stores. No. They're like weird stores. We were in the food court. We met at the food court. And just so you know, this food court is like a giant atrium. It has a glass ceiling and like two little tarps. So it's basically a giant greenhouse with no air conditioning. We were sweating, sitting there sweating, eating. It was horrible.
Well, eventually we went downstairs to the arcade area, which is like in a dark corner that used to be a department store. I think it used to be a Belk's.
Probably. And it's kind of a creepy thing when it's like, okay, the doors are shuttered and it's like in the dark abandoned corner, which is like nothing around.
I was let down by that arcade. That was a scam.
That arcade. Okay. Just for reference, the original arcade that you had looked into was a one-time cover charge, like a door fee. A reasonable price. It was like, what, $13 or $14 for the entire day? Unlimited games. Mm-hmm. This arcade was not like that. This arcade, you had to go and put credits onto a game card.
And I'm pretty sure we were scammed, too.
Yeah, I think it was like deducting credits and not letting us play the games, like every time we scanned it. And so it was what, like $5 for 10 credits? Was that right?
I thought it was $5 for 20 credits, but it only put 10 credits on my thing.
Yeah, and so, like, for an example, is like, if you wanted to play one round of, like, Miss Pac-Man, that was 2 credits.
So a dollar.
Yeah, it's like a dollar. So out of everybody, I think we only each got to play, like, 2 or 3 different arcade games. What did you spend yours on?
What did I spend mine on? I spent it on a Star Wars shooting game. I spent it on that Pokemon thing, which we'll get back to in a second.
Which we will talk about. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
We saw that and we were like, we're doing this for the podcast.
Yes.
That left me with 2 credits and I had nothing to pick from. So I picked like the Candy Carousel game.
Ew.
And I got 2 grape Tootsie Rolls that must have been there since maybe the 80s because, oof, that took some effort to consume those.
Were they like rock hard?
Yes. Oh, I think God, I screamed.
I'm surprised you didn't break your tooth, and I'm glad you didn't. I thought you were in pain because you did like chipped a tooth or something.
It shocked me.
Ugh, that's crazy. I'm trying to remember like what all games that I was able to swipe my card for. I played one round of Ms. Pac-Man and lost. We played the Sonic basketball game. That was fun.
Oh, I remember that. I did terrible at that.
It was all three of us. It was one swipe, and we all three were like shooting the hoops. Josh, myself, and Austin. We only got like, what, like 10 points? It was pretty bad.
Meanwhile, Jacob and Leslie couldn't come in because, you know, they have an infant. And the infant heard those noises in that arcade. Was like, absolutely not.
It was really loud.
It was really loud. It was really loud. No, in there. It was not a place for a baby. I don't know why we didn't think of that in advance.
I did feel slightly bad because I was like, okay, this whole thing was like planned so we could all like hang out and play arcade games. And I think originally they were going to switch off. But honestly, I think they did like look around to see like what games and stuff. But there wasn't like a big selection. So I honestly don't blame them for just being like, you know what? Pass.
No. I was disappointed we couldn't play the X-Men arcade game.
Yeah, we tried.
Ugh. But I think you need to have like unlimited credits to get the most out of that.
Who has the money? Ugh. And I think Leslie was disappointed because she really wanted to play. Like, her and Jacob were really wanting to just play Mario Kart and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have that. The other arcade that we had originally looked at had more modern games, too, in addition to your classics. So the one thing that I will say that was actually entertaining was there was one game in the arcade called Pokemon Cat.
Which I've never heard of in my life.
You found that article. Where was that? Do you want to give a little background on what the hell Pokemon Catch even is?
Okay, so when you Google Pokemon Catch arcade game.
Good luck with
the
that.
The first thing you find is arcade-museum.com. And you find a rather unpolished listing of what this is.
It's a very early 2000s looking website.
Yes, and it's a pachinko game, essentially, kind of. Where Pokemon characters are on the machine, and like you gotta catch the little balls and a little Pikachu thing that you use a Pokeball wheel to go left and right.
It's like Pikachu's a bucket, and you have to catch the little ping pong ball things as they fall through this like pachinko style board, and you gotta rotate the wheel, steering wheel, that's like the Pikachu bucket, and you gotta catch the balls, and if you catch 20 of them at least, you get a prize.
I caught 9 of them because I was not very good at this crap.
They all kind of flood out all at once. Like these balls are like just being spit out like constantly and they're all flying in like every direction to the bottom. And you have to just try to be lucky and like, oh, they're all coming down over here and catching them. Or you have to like go back over to the other side and catch a bunch over there. Did Christina also play?
Yes, she did.
One catch game?
She got an 8.
Okay, so 8 and 9.
So she and I were not very good.
Can I brag on myself?
Go, okay. So we have only a couple credits left on Alex's card. And she says, yep. What am I going to play? And then she, like a light bulb goes off. And she's like, I have to play the Pokemon Catch thing. I've never seen Alex so focused on anything in my life. She was in the zone.
I was like, don't disturb me. Thankfully, there was barely anybody there. It was like us and like one other guy that was there by himself.
In the dead mall.
In the dead mall. Yes, it was. But I had a couple credits left and I was like, okay, I don't want my money to go to waste. I don't want to just leave. And honestly, at first I wasn't going to play the Pokemon Catch game because I saw you and Christina do it and it was like, oh, that's kind of like boring. That's it. Like, okay, whatever. But then, you know, I was like, okay, at the end, I had to spend my last 2 credits or no, how many credits did it take to play? Like 4. No, it was 4.
Jesus.
It was 4 because I had 4 left.
$2.
$2 to play this game. But it turned out to be a $2 well spent because I laser focused in, you guys. I was like, I'm going to fucking win. I have to make this last couple credits count, goddammit. I put on like a stance. I got my, I dug my heel in. I was like, okay, here we go. And I ended up winning. I got a 22. I wonder what the high score on that machine was. I don't know.
Who knows? But it was really funny when the prize came down, though.
So, yeah, the thing said you win a prize. So I like was like, where's the prize? And it's like all the way in the bottom, this little slot. And I pulled out this little like capsule. And at first I thought it was like empty. So I was like, oh, the prize is
nothing.
And I was about to like be like, OK, whatever, and give it back to the cashier. But it turns out there was a little slip of paper in there. So then we all thought like, oh, it's just like a fortune, which would be the stupidest crap ever.
I thought it was like your lucky number.
Yeah. Yeah, like... I thought I was going to say, like, congratulations, here's your lucky number, or like, here's your like fortune cookie fortune or something. But no, it said you win a prize, like go up to the register and you get a prize. So I thought it was, they were going to give me like an eraser or like a pencil or something. But they were like, no, here, come over to this other claw machine with all the Pokemon plushies in there.
They were pretty nice plushies, actually.
I know. There was an assortment. I think there was a Charizard, Bulbasaur, a couple of the eons, like Vaporeon and stuff. What else was in there?
Pikachu.
Oh, who cares about Pikachu? Anyway, long story short, they had a really nice Mimikyu-looking plushie, and I was really torn between picking that or Bulbasaur, because, you know, Bulbasaur is my number one. But I was like, you know what? Let me just get something that I don't have. And they did not have a Snorlax, sadly. I would have picked that in a heartbeat, but they did not. So I picked the Mimikyu. So, guys, we have a new mascot for Out of the Drying Pan, a Mimikyu plushie.
And it's so funny, because you're not a big plushie girl.
I'm really not. I actually actively, like, avoid getting plushies.
But you were, like, so excited. You were like, oh my god, I won! No one else won, and I won!
I know. Was I being insufferable? I feel like I was being insufferable.
Well, it was funny, because we were like, oh, you win nothing. Oh, you win, like, some stupid thing. Oh, you win, like, a pretty decent plushy thing. It was, like, escalating.
Okay, I'm sorry. Was it just me? I'm just gonna drag these people for a second. I feel like they were annoyed that I won.
Well, they were annoyed that we were there.
Yeah, it's like, how are you, like, running your store if you don't have any business?
They were, like, young people. Like, it doesn't matter.
I know. Well, they were, like, pretty annoyed when I, like, ran up and I was like, I want my prize!
You were, like, beaming. It was really funny.
I've never won anything from, like, a prize machine. I was very excited. When was the last time we had been to an arcade? I think it had been, like, 20 years since I'd been to an arcade. Unlike Leslie and Jacob, who go to Dave and Buster's on the regular, so.
It was funny because you, like, kicked our asses. You really, like, committed to that. You were really into it.
I wanted to make our last bit of money count because it was pretty, honestly, it was a shitty experience all around. The most fun thing aside from that was the basketball hoop game. Thrilling stuff, really.
Ooh, I got something to say.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Pokemon Megastar has been leaving his comments that I need to read out.
Oh, yeah. Hello again.
There's three here, so I'm kind of just going to do the Cliff Notes version. Pokemon Megastar says to Alex, hope the move goes well.
Hey, thanks. It did, for the most part.
The Shroomish episode is the first in a few that show what it'd be like if Max had a Pokemon.
He ruins their lives and then leaves, never to see them again. Exhibit A, Poochyena.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually Exhibit B, because Poochyena is the second one.
Oh. He's too young. He's not old enough for a trainer license yet.
And Pokemon Megastar alludes to the fact that there is a Pokemon that Max will be befriending in a rather famous episode. I'm looking forward to that one.
I have no recollection of what that might be, so I'm curious.
It's a psychic type.
Oh my god, is it... Can I just guess?
Yeah.
Is it a Ralts?
Yes. I'm assuming that's what Pokemon Megastar means.
Well, because there's no Wally, which we just thought about that. I think a couple episodes back when we had the realization that Wally does not appear at all. So is he like the Wally stand-in?
I guess.
It's really weird that Wally didn't show up. I'm really mad about that, actually.
Alex, you like Mario Sunshine, right?
I do. Who doesn't like Mario Sunshine?
Pokemon Megastar says that you sounded like a... how do you say it? A pianta?
I sound like a pineapple person.
Is that what they are? They're pineapples?
Are they? I don't know. I always thought they were pineapples, even though they're not.
Whatever they are, you sounded like it during your episode summary.
What fool did I make of myself? I honestly can't remember half the antics that I do on this
podcast. I know, me either. What was that? It's so long ago
what
now.
What kind of crazy shit did I do? Remind me. I sounded like a piano or whatever.
Piano, what do they call it? Pianta?
Oh my god, why can't I think of this?
Oh, it was when you were Pelipper and you had stuff in your mouth and you had to go... Oh,
is that what I sound like?
Yeah.
Why can I not figure out what they are called? Pianta?
Pianta.
Oh,
I'm on MarioWiki.com. Piantas are a group of island-dwelling people that debuted in Mario Sunshine.
They don't look like pineapples at all. What the hell is wrong with me? They're palm tree people. Okay.
Oh my god, in Thousand Year Door when there was like the Pianta Mafia.
Oh right, they ran the little like gambling ring.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, their name means plant in Italian.
Okay, so they're plant people.
I don't remember. I should know this. I took Italian in college, but sadly I remember nothing.
Pogo Megastar also says, I agree with Alex. I prefer having physical copies of the game.
Are we talking about Oblivion? Because I'm sad to report, Pokemon Megastar, that I could no longer contain myself, and there was no mention of a physical release, and so, yes, it's me. I'm the hypocrite. I went and bought it digitally, so...
You held out for longer than I thought.
I held out for, like, a month, okay? It was a month, and I couldn't take it anymore, so... Sorry.
Congrats to Austin on the panic buy of a PlayStation 5. Thank you, Pokemon Megastar. I regret to report I finished Spider-Man 2 and have not touched it since.
Why are you regretting that?
Because I need to justify my purchase. I need to play more things on it.
Oh, gosh. What could you play now?
We'll have all these PS4 games.
That's true. But what about PS5? You bought the PS5. You have a PS4. So
we'll get back to that later, Nate.
Okay. Hey, guys out there, if you have any suggestions for any good PS5 games that Austin should play, let us know. We would appreciate that. What's worth it?
Under the understanding that Austin cannot play shooter games, because I am really bad at them.
Maybe we can find something else that's slightly more up your alley.
And I'm not interested in Astrobot, thank you. Pokemon Megastar says, I think Janet should have been a rival/tutor to Mei for a bit longer. But hey, what are you going to do?
Hey, what are you going to do? Pokemon anime makes no sense.
Yeah, Janet was a missed opportunity. We went on and on about how fucking boring they were.
Damn it, Janet.
Damn it, Janet. I don't love you.
They could have made her more visually interesting. Not that you have to be visually interesting to be an interesting character, I guess. But I agree. They could have done more.
I mean, I always found Soledad to be pretty interesting.
Soledad? You'll have to remind me. We haven't gotten to Soledad yet.
We meet her at the very end of the Advanced Generation series.
Oh, so we have a way to go then.
She's like the cool older sister character.
Well, this should be called Pokemon the Series Missed Opportunities, so...
Oh, well.
Well, thank you, as always, for your comments, Pokemon Megastar. If anybody else out there also wants to chime in and leave us comments, we would appreciate that.
You know who we haven't heard from?
Who is that?
Liam, ever since I insulted Liam's inability to tell a purple and a blue shuckle apart. Liam, I'm so sorry.
Liam was on my side, was he not? So we all know that the correct answer is purple.
I agree with you. The correct answer is purple.
Wait, what did I say originally? It was blue. Wait,
I agree with you. The correct answer is purple.
No,
I think that's exactly correct. Yes.
No, no, blue is the correct answer.
No, no, I think you said purple. So I think we just settled it once and for all.
No,
do not look at
please.
Your phone. Do not Google images of shuckle.
Blue shuckle. It's a blue shuckle.
It's purple.
Shiny shuckle. Hold on.
No, shiny shuckle is blue.
No, I'm looking it up right now.
In that anime episode, it was purple.
What was my original stance?
Blue.
Is it not blue?
It's purple.
It is not. Look at this shit. It's blue.
You just said it was purple.
We can't even get our own story straight here.
My story has been straight the whole time.
It's blue.
It's purple.
No, look at this. It's blue, damn it.
It's purple.
Look at this. It's blue.
That is the color purple. Oprah's there.
Oh my god, it is so not the color purple. The color palette of the original anime is washed out, and so this is a washed out blue. Look at this.
Who said that? Bulbapedia?
No, my eyeballs. Blue, 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 Austin.
I will admit, when you put the phone up to the camera, like the webcam.
Oh my god, he will admit.
It did look rather blue, but when I see it with my own eyes, it looks purple. No, it's like the dress.
Look,
what color did you see the dress?
What color did I originally see the dress?
Yeah. If you were to see a picture of the dress, what would you see?
Okay, I have to Google the dress. I can't remember my original. Let's Google it right now.
I saw white and gold.
The dress. Can I just Google the dress?
Yeah, the dress. Just Google the dress. It'll come up.
It's black and blue.
See, I see the white and gold. But I know I'm wrong. I know it is black and blue, but I know I'm wrong in that one.
Is it really black and blue or was it white and gold?
It was really black and blue.
How can anybody see white and gold off of this? Oh my god, the Wikipedia is the dress. That's what it is, the dress. Oh, it's okay, so you're right. The dress was black and blue, but conditions of the photograph caused many to perceive it as white and gold. So we are correct. It is black and blue.
I saw the dress as white and gold. I still see it as white and gold, but I know intellectually it's not.
So you, when you're looking at it right now, you see white and gold.
Yes. Like clear as day, white and gold.
No, I'm sorry. It's black and blue.
I know. I'm familiar with that. However,
just like the shuckle is blue.
The shuckle is purple.
Blue.
Purple.
Blue suede shoes.
All I have to say anyway. Is, Liam, write in. I won't make fun of you too much.
Please tell Austin he's wrong. Thank you. So, anything else? Is that it? I think we pretty much have just been dealing with life stuff. Nothing Nothing exciting.
I need to get LASIK.
You need something, all right.
I have astigmatism.
So do I. Oh my god. We would have totally died if we were back in the caveman days.
Oh, I would have died 300 times by now.
Pokemon time. Is it Pokemon time? I think it is Pokemon time.
It's always Pokemon time.
I know. What am I saying? It's Pokemon time somewhere.
We need to get a Pokemon Catch arcade machine and like just have it in your home.
No, that game. Okay. As much as I love Pokemon adjacent things, I don't even know if this was like officially licensed. It seems kind of like
I think it actually was because I think that was original art on it. It was like a Weedle.
A Weedle makes it legit, you guys.
Yeah. A Weedle makes it legit.
I don't know what the hell. This arcade company that went defunct like 20 years ago. Sammy. Or are they still... Sammy. They did like what? Mostly hunting arcade games and then this.
The Pokemon license was not enough to save their company. Poor Sammy.
It was not. Fun fact, when I was reading the arcade Wikipedia thing that Austin had sent on this, when it said Sammy, I just thought Sammy Oak. And I'm like, what the hell does Sammy Oak have to do with this arcade cabinet?
It's a Pokemon Forever tie-in.
It is. Cabinet. It could have been. It could have been. Anyway, I think it was one of those games that's just like, okay, I played it one time and that's really all I need to do in my life. Like, I don't think I need to play it again.
I regret the arcade cabinet that I bought. I bought one of those mini arcade, like the 1-Up arcade machines.
What's wrong with it?
Well, it has the Punisher. It has X-Men Battle of the Atom or Children of the Atom or something like that. And it has Marvel Superheroes, two of which are basically Street Fighter games.
Right.
But now they have since come out with a home console release of all those games and more, which I bought for Switch for like $30.
So you don't have a need for it.
No, I don't need the arcade machine thing.
It's nice to have. It's just like a conversation piece or something.
Yeah, but I don't have enough space to store it, you know?
That's true.
Anyway, let's flip the Dragonite coin.
Sorry, you were holding that Dragonite coin up, and I thought you were waving an Oreo around, and then I was like, damn, I could go for some Oreos right now.
Well, I don't have Oreos, but I do have Pokemon episodes for you.
Hooray, the second best thing.
Flipping the coin. Heads. So I'm doing the summary for a first episode, which is an advanced episode called All in a Day's Wurmple.
All in a Day's Wurmple. What else do we have this week? We also have Of Meowth and Pokemon, which is a Chronicles episode.
Ugh. I think we can cover that episode in 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're lucky. Or no, wait. You have to summarize that one.
Yes, I do.
I'm lucky then.
All right.
Okay. Well, in that case, maybe it's not the best Chronicles episode we've had so far. No. What about the Wurmple episode? Like, just real quick, like one word. What did you think?
Double. That's my one word.
Perfect. I actually like that. It's a good word. Are you ready to Wurmple it up?
Yes.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
How the fuck are we back in the Petalburg Woods? I don't know, but we are. And there's a Wurmple that May's going to catch because she's now imprinted on Beautifly, thanks to Janet. Damn it. And she meets a boy named Franklin. And Ash and Max and Brock also meet a boy named Franklin. But oh my god, it turns out they're identical twins with the same voice and the same appearance. And Jesse also catches a Wurmple because May catches hers and Jesse catches hers.
Time.
I misgendered Jesse there for a second. Whoops. Time. Anyway.
Oh god. Okay, this was fun. At least we have some action happening, I think.
Like action.
Action.
Action packed.
We are wandering around the woods, but other stuff is happening. So that's something, I guess, right?
I'm so mad they're in the woods.
I know. I was really confused, actually, because I had to go back and be like, what did we even talk about before? And that was when they were in the almost but not quite fake out Rustboro City area, the Rustboro Hall. And we thought they were there.
There were no woods between Rustboro Hall and Rustboro City proper. Where the hell are they?
Yeah, what the fuck? That's a good point, because remember, back in the beginning of that, when we get the aerial shot where Max is like, it's another day's walk to the city, and we get the pan out where it's literally like, no, that can't be more than like a couple hours.
At most.
At most. And it was like a bright and sunny hill, like a dirt road leading into town. There was no woods. Austin is right.
We took the really, really scenic route where we went backwards before we went forward. Woods. Yeah.
Yeah, they went back so they can circumvent the earth and end up right back where they started. Anyway, we're back in the goddamn Petalburg Woods. I guess we're almost there again for like the third time.
God, they're edging us with Respirosity. Jesus
Christ. They really are. But we have to have some Wurmply Wurmple action. So May pulls a Misty and gets scared and freaked out by the fact that a Wurmple dangles itself right in front of her face. Which, to be fair, I would also be horrifically freaked out if a giant bug bigger than my head fell down right in front of my face. Not the best start to the day. But she pulls herself together. Ash is really excited. He's like, oh my god, a Wurmple, it's so cute. And May's like, you know what? Forget what I thought about Wurmple before. I actually want one because it's not going to be a Wurmple forever. It'll turn into a Beautifly. And I want to be just like Janet, my favorite person ever, who also had a Beautifly. So May decides she has to have it. So she runs off and she's like, goodbye, and leaves on her own. And Ash actually has a moment of empathy, which I was very proud of him. He's like, is she going to be okay by herself? He knows May is not about adventuring.
I was proud of her.
I'm glad for her too. She's not a very like self-preservation oriented person. She really doesn't have a lot of survival skills, but she wants that Wurmple. So she's going to go after it. Brock, on the other hand, is like, you know what? Why don't we just take this opportunity to stop for lunch while May goes and does her little forest adventure, and we'll just see her when we see her, I guess. Team Rocket's also here, and they want in on that Wurmple action too. And Jesse's like, I want to catch one to have a Beautifly also, because I want to enter contests, and the surefire way to win is with a Beautifly.
I found it so interesting that we're just pretending Dustox does not exist at this point.
They don't know, apparently.
Every single one of them is like, yeah, Wurmple evolves into Beautifly, and nothing else. They're all completely unaware.
I guess. Nobody said anything. Then again, I don't know. It's not completely unreasonable to think they wouldn't know.
Yeah. I think Max would know.
He should know. I am surprised about him.
Yeah, he should be able to point out, you don't know it's going to evolve into a Beautifly. It has a random chance of evolving into something else.
But that's a convenient thing we have to just gloss over, because otherwise there wouldn't be that surprise factor that we'll get in a little while. So anyway, Meowth has this grandiose idea that not only is Jessie going to catch one because she wants a Beautifly for her contest, but if they catch a bunch of Wurmple and give them to Giovanni, he will forgive them for all of their stupid bullshit that they've ever done.
Was there no boss fantasy?
There was not.
Meowth, come on.
Since we didn't get an official one, let's do some brainstorming. What kind of boss fantasy would we have gotten with a Wurmple?
Giovanni would strip down. And ooh, all the Wurmples would come up and they would all spray him with their string shot, and they would wrap him in a cocoon for his skin, like Misty that one time with the spinner rack.
Oh, is that what you were thinking? Okay.
Yeah.
We were on the right page, but my thought was that, okay, so he'd strip down, of course, in his little like black thong that he has, but they would spin him like a silk robe.
Ooh, out of maybe.
Their silk. I was thinking like, honestly, like a Hugh Hefner, just like smoking jacket or something, or like, oh, some God, kind of silk robe or something. So we didn't get a boss fantasy, but we can pretend. After James is trying to find a Wurmple by knocking on some trees, Jessie is like, I don't have time for this shit. Let me just karate kick this tree. And she shakes a Weedle out of it, a Kakuna. And then, of course, the logical conclusion would be the Beedrill. So we get a swarm of those, and they chase Team Rocket, which is terrifying. And unfortunately, May is right in their path. So she gets dragged into this bullshit, and they all end up falling down a cliff where they all spot a Wurmple. And so they get into a fight over who gets to catch it.
May versus Jessie.
So they all end up chasing after this poor little Wurmple, which I felt really bad for, because I'm like, this thing is probably terrified for its life. And so they get into a fight over who gets to catch it. Cacnea and Seviper, unfortunately, gang up on poor little Torchic, who is still as ineffectual as ever. But this kid and his Heracross come to the rescue.
I was pleased to see Heracross.
I'm sure you didn't have a dumb moment like me. I'm sure you were, like, completely aware that this was not Ash's Heracross, but for, like, a split second, I thought it was Ash's Heracross swooping in to save the day.
Ash went to Rustboro City, because it's only right there. He got Heracross, and he came back, and he was like, okay, Heracross, go find a Wurmple.
I mean, weirder things have happened. But it's not Ash's Heracross. It is some kid named Franklin.
The giant turtle boy.
Did you ever watch Franklin as a kid?
Of course.
I forgot all about Franklin, the giant tortoise boy.
Although I was a little offended because I think Franklin was kind of butting into Little Bear's territory there.
I always got them mixed up.
They were very similar.
Wait, didn't Franklin have a bear friend?
Maybe.
Okay, hold on. Sidebar.
Oh boy, real here quick. We go.
Look what you've done. Franklin, was he a turtle or a tortoise? Franklin the turtle. I don't think he's really a turtle. I feel like he's more like a tortoise. Oh, he has a best friend named Bear.
Oh, really?
That's very confusing.
Ugh.
Yeah, Little Bear is a different thing entirely. Not to be confused with the Berenstain Bears. Where was I? So Franklin the turtle is here, and he has a hair cross, and he's like, you know what? I am going to help you because you cannot help yourself. And meanwhile, we're back with Ash, Pikachu, and Brock. And Ash is like, you know what? We have to get your Iron Tail under control because we need to be prepared by the time we get to Rustboro Gym, which we will never get to at this point. They are interrupted, though, during their training by Franklin. Franklin's here. And you're like, what? Wasn't he just with May? That's really strange. How can he be in two places at once?
Did you remember this at all?
No, I did not.
Okay, did you know what was going on as soon as
well,
it started?
Well, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, unless we've like entered like some nightmare area, this is a twin. Also, I think he had like a little beauty mark on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's flipped.
One on the right, one on the left. And also he had a different shirt.
Yeah, he has a different like turtleneck color. Like the one has orange and the other one has a blue shirt. So they're like, oh, hello. And this kid is very forward. He's just like, I'm going to just hang around now. And they're like, okay. Back with May and her Franklin, he is being a little bit too friendly, I think. He's, like, touching her on the small of her back.
What was going on here? This was a little odd. But I think she's kind of receptive to it.
I think Franklin's a little creepy, honestly.
No, I do think he's creepy. Vibe. But she was, like, blushing and stuff and smiling and...
Yeah, but later her reaction to him is kind of, like, fuck off now.
She got tired of that real quick.
Yeah, May, she's like, nah, I'm good. Flattery only worked for, like, 1 second. But they're, like, trying to climb up a cliff face. Somehow they've transported beyond the woods. They're not in the woods. They're, like, on a sheer cliff face that they're trying to, like, climb up. I'm not sure.
There are so many cliff faces in this world. I'm so tired of cliffs.
I know. But she slides down the cliff, and he, like, is like, whoa, there, steady on your feet. Don't
fall. Like, grabs her by the hips and is like, ooh.
Oh, God. And so that was weird. Anyway, so we're back to Ash. We keep going back and forth, right? But we do get something interesting that happens right here. So Ash, his Franklin, is like, you know what we should do? We should battle. I can help you out. And he is then introduced to the concept of double battles, which is very interesting. I love a double battle, actually.
Yeah, I think double battles are iconic. I think it's kind of weird to think they weren't there the whole time.
I know.
It's one of those. It? Yeah.
I guess we've been longer with the double battles than we've been without the double battles.
So long.
So it's weird to think like there was a time where we didn't have them. Honestly, I think of all the battle mechanics that they end up like ultimately introducing later. Like, I'm not a big fan of the rotation battles.
Oh, I couldn't figure those out. That was like impossible.
And triple battle. What's the difference between triple battles and...
Rotation battles, it's three Pokemon, but only one is in the front to attack and be hit at a time.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it's been a long time. Sure. And then triple battles, they're all on the stage all at the same time.
Okay. That's a lot happening.
Yeah, that's when we go too far, as far as I'm concerned. That's too much.
Double battles are good. They're the best. They're simple, but like interesting. So shout out to double battles. So this kid calls out his Ariados and Yanma.
A lot of Johto Pokemon today.
Yes, very interesting. And it's Pikachu versus Treecko, I guess, because Taillow would have been the interesting and more effective choice, but Ash is not known for making the best decisions. Long story short, he wins. And Pikachu is actually successful using Iron Tail at least once, but he fails the second time. So he still has a couple of training sessions to go through, I think. After the battle, Brock invites Franklin too for some of his famous Brock stew.
He called it Brock stew, right?
Can we please eat that? Oh, God.
He actually said Brock stew.
Yes, he said Brock stew.
Okay, that's what we're going to call it from now on.
Brock stew. God only knows what's in it, but yeah, gross. So Franklin 1 and May are out of the cliff area now, and they stop to have some Petchin berries.
Oh, they're still Petchin berries?
No, they didn't call them Petchin berries, but I call them Petchin berries.
Oh, they got the name right this time.
May said Petcha, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, good, good, good.
It's Petchin in my heart, though.
It's Petcha in my OCD brain. How about that?
Good, okay. So this is where Franklin 1 is being very rude and oversteps his boundaries that May has lost her receptiveness because he's like, you know what? I've always wanted to travel. Why don't I travel with you?
Oh, we got a Sakura situation on our hands.
But May isn't like Misty. Misty was like, oh my God, please come with me, Sakura. And Sakura's like, nah. This time May is like, eh. But before she can like rebuke this whole idea, the Wurmple shows back up. So she's interrupted. She doesn't have the awkward responsibility of being like,
leave
no,
us alone.
You don't fit in. Yeah, you don't. You're not a part of this group. You can't sit with us. So she, before she could say buzz off, the Wurmple comes back. And I'm not sure if this is the same Wurmple or a different Wurmple. Totally. I don't know.
Unclear.
She does a decent job at first. I think she uses Torchic to like peck it or something. And it seems like it's got a low health and she can catch it. She throws her Pokeball, but she celebrates prematurely. She's like, yay, I caught it, but it's not done wiggling. And it pops out. Oh no, shocker.
I hate when you celebrate prematurely and it's not done wiggling.
I know. Don't you hate that?
Franklin really hates that.
Stop. I guess it's kind of like the RNG in the games. Like, you could have a Pokemon that's like 1 HP paralyzed or whatever and throw the Pokeball and it still pops out.
Oh, legendaries. So annoying.
I know. Awful. So May is very shocked that it pops out of the ball. But Franklin decides to butt in and give her battle advice and say, you actually have to like do more. Maybe Ember is a good move to use because it's fire type.
Hey, Franklin, how about you shut the fuck up? Because she knows what she's doing. Thank you.
Right.
We've already been through this before. Like, she did what she needed to do. So how about you take your trap and shut it?
I agree that May... I would say May does need some help. I think she's still a little bit, like, novice in a lot of ways. But I don't want advice from Franklin, of all people.
Shut up, Franklin.
She does catch it, okay? So great. Wonderful. She uses up another Pokeball, I guess.
Padding, padding, padding.
Padding, padding, padding. As she holds up the Pokeball to the sky, an old friend makes a reappearance. Our good friend, Handy Andy.
Yay! Handy Andy has become a regular.
I love a Handy Andy.
Handy Andy is a fifth member of Team Rocket at this point.
I know. Underrated. He grabs the Wurmple Ball, and they are like, ha ha, we got your Wurmple. Nothing you can do. Except for there is something that they can do, and that is Franklin, whatever his name is, uses Heracross to pop their balloon, and they fall to the ground, and that's about it. I think they blast them off, right? I think I didn't take a note on that part.
They get blasted off multiple times.
Yeah, I think another blast off happens. Great, they get the Wurmple back. Congratulations. Back at the campsite, May and Franklin 1, as we have, we'll discover very shortly, run up and discover that Franklin is a twin. Oh my God, the twist is revealed.
Okay, I got concerns.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so they're twins.
Sure.
They both go by their last name, Franklin.
We didn't know that until this very minute, though.
Yes, they both go by their family name. Why would you ever go by your family name if you're a twin and your twin also goes by your family name?
Okay, so this I think I need to back up a little bit because this is why we were confused. So when Franklin 1 introduces himself to May, he's like, hello, my name is Franklin. Mm-hmm. Then, completely separately, when Franklin 2 runs up on Ash and Brock, he says, hello, my name is Franklin. And I thought I had a stroke because I was like, wait, I'm sorry, what? They're both Franklin? Franklin and Franklin? That's their names? What kind of horrible, lazy parents do they have?
Well, they do have lazy parents is the thing.
Oh, well, yeah. Yes, they do, actually. Then, when they all converge together, May and Ash and both of the Franklins or whatever, they're like, hi, my name is Forrest, and I'm Forrester.
Forrest Franklin and Forrester Franklin. And they both go by Franklin when they meet strangers.
I have to tell you that at this point, I was watching it with Josh. And I looked at him and I paused the thing and I'm like, wait, they said their name was Franklin, right? This is before they said their last name was Franklin.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because when they were like, oh, I'm Forrest and I'm Forrester, I'm like, is this a horrible, glaring error that they just called them Franklin and then forgot that they called them Franklin?
Wouldn't be the first time, nor the last.
Wait, when was there an example of them like misnaming somebody in the same episode?
Not in the same episode, you're right.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking of Eugene and Eugene.
Oh. Well, that's like a 4Kids dub error, right?
Yeah, yeah. But this was not an error. This was on purpose.
No, it was a weird roundabout way for us to learn that their family name is Franklin, which, again, I completely agree with you that nobody introduces themselves as their last name. You don't walk up on somebody and they're like, hello, my name is Smith.
No, I do think some people go by their last names. Probably like in a sports environment and stuff like that. You know, military, stuff like that.
Well, yeah, but as like, once you know them, like if you walk up and you're meeting somebody for the first time, they're not going to say, my name's Smith. That's it. I mean, they might say like, my name is John Smith.
If you go by your last name, let us know. I just think it's odd that they both go by their last name.
Yeah, but they didn't introduce themselves as first name, last name.
No. Now we got to talk about the Forrest Forrester.
We already have a Forrest in the form of Brock's brother, which I thought was lame. Because I'm like, we already have a Forrest.
Which is funny because I don't think that's been dubbed yet, actually. I could be wrong.
Really?
I think so.
Okay. Well, yeah. So the one is Forrest and the other was Forrester.
I hate these parents.
Bad. Just bad all around. Bad.
Who's like, oh, I have a great idea. Let's give them the same name.
Forrest and Forrester.
Very Brenda and Brandon Walsh.
Who is that?
90210.
Oh, okay. I mean, those are kind of like separate. I mean, I can't speak for every parent that has twins, but I think a lot of them kind of pick something similar in
complimentary names.
Or like first, like same first letter.
Okay, I can't speak for anyone else. I think if I were to have multiple children, I'd make sure they all have very separate names.
Distinctive.
Because you know how when you're talking to someone, you go through like, sometimes you go through a list of names before you get the right one. Just because your brain is misfiring.
Oh, I know all about brain misfirings.
It's like the Kardashians, and they all have K names. I'm like, that's so stupid. And I couldn't tell you which one's which.
I mean, there's a lot about the Kardashians that are stupid beyond their stupid names, but sure.
Correct.
And I'm not apologizing for that. They're famous for what? Their dad was a lawyer? Okay, great. And then one of them had a sex tape? Sure, great. Anyway, Forrest and Forrester have the dumbest names of all time. And I guess they're like self-proclaimed guardians of the forest. I was a little unclear of why they're even here. Because like the one of them, I can't remember which one, was like, oh my God, guess what? I'm gonna travel. And the other one's like, good for you. You should totally do that. And I'm like, weren't you already doing that?
I think one of them was staying at home and the other was traveling. And now they've swapped.
Oh, because
there can only be one Franklin at a time.
There can only be one Highlander.
Unless the universe distort itself.
So what is happening now that they're both now in the same spot?
We are currently counting down to the end of all things if they don't separate immediately.
It's like don't cross the beams, right?
Exactly.
They are being really annoying, and I'm really hoping that they do not continue on to the next episode because I will be very upset if they do. I hope they leave them right here in the woods.
The imaginary woods. I think this is all a dream.
This is all a dream. Anyway, the Wurmple is called out to be introduced to the rest of the group, and May wants to show off her newest little friend. But it turns out that this Wurmple is a glutton, and a very rude one at that, because he immediately, or she, I'm not really sure, launches into eating all the Pokemon food and the entire pot of Brock stew. They all laugh and take it in stride. Okay, great, wonderful. Meanwhile, Team Rocket's hanging off a tree, as they do after they get blasted off. And lo and behold, there's a Wurmple right on the edge of the branch. And Jessie does this baller fucking move where she's like, oh my God, a Wurmple. So she takes her Pokeball and just chucks it in like this awesome way. And she's like, flick, and flicks it right onto the Wurmple and catches it and like immediately. It like wiggles once and she's caught it.
Jessie's really good at catching Pokemon.
She doesn't even have to do anything. She just threw the Pokeball.
She either beats you within an inch of her life, or she just throws it. Or just kind of like casually tosses it, and you're caught.
Oh, I forgot about her like actually physically assaulting Seviper, beating it to death, and then catching it. But yeah, now she has a Wurmple. I wonder what they're going to evolve into.
I think it's a really cute idea for both May and Jessie to have Wurmples.
I really actually like Wurmple. This is Wurmple appreciation time. I never really thought much about Wurmple, but the fact that it has a branching evolution is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I like how it's the show's taking advantage of it.
I'm not sure how it works in the games. I think there's like a weird like mathematical calculation.
Yeah, my understanding is it's basically random.
Yeah.
Like there is a way to decode it, but who even cares?
Yeah, who cares? Whatever it evolves into. Obviously, you'll know immediately if it's a Silcoon or Cascoon, but...
Unless you're Jesse.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. Anyway.
It was a decent episode, I thought.
MVP, LVP, in quote time.
Flip. Oh. I guess it's head, so I go first. My MVP. May I ask who you would most like to give it to?
What MVP would I pick?
Yeah. Because I have two strong contenders.
That's two more than I have, actually.
Oh, okay.
I actually don't have one now that you're saying that.
Okay. Maze Wurmple.
Why exactly Maze Wurmple?
It's kind of weird, but kind of cute. I like the way its legs move.
Oh, yeah.
They're like a conveyor belt legs.
I feel like physically that could never work, but...
But it's a cartoon, so it doesn't matter.
Sure.
And I like how it's a glutton. I think that's a cute little trait to give to the very hungry caterpillar.
You are so right. I forgot all about the hungry caterpillar.
That's what caterpillars do, is they'll destroy plants because they'll strip them from eating all their leaves.
That's a good observation. Okay.
My LVP, I'm going to give it to... Can I give it to one Franklin? You can give it to the other.
It's okay. You could just... You give it to both of the Franklins.
Okay, I'm going to give it to the Franklin twins.
Ew.
Because what more needs to be said? The one that did the double battle wasn't too bad, but everything about them is kind of off.
Yeah, I feel like they give, like, serial killer vibes. It's kind of like Ted Bundy, you know?
They're going for, like, a creepy twin thing, but maybe not on purpose. But that's how it's coming off.
No, there's just something about them.
I could see them being The Shining or something like that.
Yeah.
Twins are people, too. They're not weird like this.
It's not because they're twins. It's not that at all. It's the fact that they just exude a weird aura. There's nothing behind the eyes. It's like they're overly friendly without like being asked. And like the fact that Franklin 1, who I agree is the worst of the offenders, is like inviting himself along with May and like touching the small of her back. And like, he's being too presumptuous, I think, in this.
I think what they are is four spirits. They're not real people. And only one of them can leave at a time to see the world. And so they're trying to attach themselves to these people to escape.
One has to stay. Oh my god.
They're in an eternal war about which one is where at what time.
Good lord.
But they can't say any of this to the humans.
You know what? This is giving the Ninetales, like Brock the Third or whatever.
The stuck Ninetales.
The ancestor.
So they're like forest spirits or ghosts or some shit. That's why their names are so stupid.
Forest and Forester. It's like they don't have a concept of like what a human name is, so they have to like pretend. I agree.
Right, my quote. Not a lot of good quotes this time, so I guess I'll give it to Brock. May says, "I guess it's a good thing, it's so cute." And Brock says, "And good looks can take you far. Take it from me." And everyone laughs to end the episode.
That's a good one. And also one of my only quotes that I had too, so.
Haha, get wrecked.
Oh my god. Okay, so my MVP is going to be Jesse.
Oh.
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. There's really nobody else.
I was going to give it to May, actually. For her independence that Franklin Forrest admired so much. Whatever the fuck his name is.
No, May still... I don't know. I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, but... I think she's still making, like, really obvious mistakes and not, like, in a good way. It's like, damn, you don't know that your Torchic can use Ember already? Like, come on. So my MVP is going to be Jessie because of that baller way that she caught a Wurmple at the end. She just flicked a Pokeball and was done with that. My LVP, on the other hand, you gave it to the twins, right?
I offered you one of them, but you said no.
No, I feel like they're like, a package deal, so.
They're a dyad.
I'm going to give it to Janet.
Oh.
I know. Surprise. I'm going to give it to Janet because god damn it, Janet, if she didn't have this Beautifly, wouldn't have kicked off this weird Wurmple obsession and get us to where we are now. So
she made a cameo. She made a flashback appearance.
That's all. And then, then she just fucks off and like doesn't actually help. She just appears in flashbacks. So whatever, Janet, you are just... doing more harm than good out there.
I think Janet should get the number one LVP of Hoenn.
I think she deserves it. Okay, and my quote is not a strong one, but I'm so sorry. There's not really any good zingers this time around. I'm going to give it to Meowth's weird thing that he says completely out of nowhere. James is like, this is when they're searching for the Wurmple. And he's like knocking on the tree. And Meowth slides in. They can't even be bothered to animate him walking up. He just slides into frame. And he's like, hey, building up those biceps, big boy.
Sometimes Meowth, like, hits on James, and it's really jarring every time he does it.
Yeah, and then James is like, no, I'm just doing a little pressure pinpointing to check for hidden Pokemon.
Meowth has a chaotic energy sometimes.
Oh my god, we'll see that in the next episode.
Oh boy. I like the way that Meowth said Wurmple. He said Wainpool.
Wainpool?
Wainpool.
How do you even say that? Oh my god.
I don't know. I can't do that Jersey accent.
I can't either. So, yeah, Meowth was a little bit... He was off his game today.
Well,
between him and the boss fantasy and then whatever this was.
Well, get ready for some Meowth, because he's about to go on vacation.
Good lord. Okay, thank god we're done with the Wurmple episode.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. Really strong start to our return from hiatus, I think. So, the next one we have is a Chronicles episode.
Of Meowth and Pokemon.
Okay, I was a little confused because I did look this up ahead of time, and I'm sure you have an explanation, but maybe you can tell me. Why was it divided up into two parts?
When this aired in Japan, it was two segments. But okay. I think the dub, when they were making Chronicles, was like, fuck it, we'll just cut out a title card and make it one thing.
So where was the break at? I was trying to figure it out.
They did a good job of merging these because I couldn't tell you where it was.
I was surprised it was two because I looked at the time and I thought maybe it was a longer episode, but it was still like the 20 minutes or whatever.
I think it was 2 11-minute shorts.
I don't know where the break would have been, but I thought I was watching something out of order too, but apparently not.
Well, here's the thing. Chronicles is such a clusterfuck in so many ways.
Yeah.
All these Pichu Brothers episodes, they're all mixed up. They're not in the chronological order, which I mean, like, who cares?
True.
Because these are so nothing, like, genuinely, who cares?
Sure, yeah.
But they are in the wrong order, so it's just worth noting that.
Yeah, I was confused, because I thought the next one, or at least in the order that I looked at, the next one was something having to do with Professor Oak. And I was like, wait, what are we doing watching this Meowth thing?
Yeah. Chronicles plays fast and loose with what goes where. Maybe it was, like, in order of what time they finished the scripts. I don't know.
Sure. I trust Austin. Austin has our backs. He knows when we should be watching stuff and not, so...
Yeah, I'm cross-referencing with air dates and stuff
to yes.
make it as logical as it can be. Anyway.
The true and correct order of Pokemon episodes.
So this is a Pichu Brothers episode. Let's just do
Good
it.
God.
Okay. Are you ready to be timed?
I am ready.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
So we're in Big Town again, home of the Pichu Brothers and the gang of miscreants that follow them around. Meowth is having a very cynical day, and he's like, you know what? Everything sucks, but I want to build a statue to myself. So he invents this crazy scheme. I don't even know. It's this fucking crazy scheme of all this shit, and somehow he gets fucked over every single turn by the Pichu gang, and it's just a bunch of crap after another. And he,
time.
God, I fucked it up. Okay.
This was an odd... I'm trying to think. We've seen the Pichu... I like the Pichu Brothers the first time we met them, when Pikachu was trying to get back to the rooftop.
Yeah.
The one with the balloon wasn't so great.
Which one was the balloon one?
That, like, Danny was caught on a balloon.
Oh, okay.
Traveling through the air or something. I can't remember.
The only one I can remember at the moment is when they're, like, trying to catch a train.
Yeah, that was... They weren't in the city. It was just the Pichu Brothers.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is very over the garden wall and all that. Anyway... But,
These Pichu Brothers must be making some money because they keep on coming back. We are back in Johto. We're back in Big Town. And
great.
Meowth claims through his narration that he's on a vacation from Team Rocket. I don't believe him. I think we just are no longer in canon at this point because I think there's some continuity errors that indicate this isn't real. But who cares?
This is like... The Christmas dimension.
The Christmas dimension has been replaced by the Pichu dimension at this point.
Which is more hellish? I think it's this.
I think it's the Christmas dimension is more hellish, but it's also more entertaining.
It is more entertaining because we have, like, dying Stantlers and all kinds of crazy shit, so...
Swimming to the North Pole.
Yeah. Oh, right, yes. Is that with the Psychic Lapras, or am I completely missing?
Yes, it was a Psychic Lapras.
Okay.
And Santa's magical boot.
Oh, yeah, and then Jinx was in love with Santa and the boot. Yeah, sure.
Anyway, but we're not in the Christmas dimension. We're in Big Town. And Meowth is here, And Meowth is having some Sybil personalities happening.
What is happening?
He wakes up in his, like, kind of cool, like, attic space studio apartment that he now has. And he says that it's time for his split personalities to start the day. He's, like, a maid to himself, to his, like, boss persona. Can you help me with this? I don't know what's going on.
I'm sorry, I was just, like, waiting for you to... I wanted to see what would happen, so I just let it go.
I saw these episodes 3 weeks ago before we took a hiatus.
Oh, shit. Okay, I didn't realize
that. So I'm going to really struggle with this one.
Okay, see, here's me on the other hand, and I watched him just now and somehow still struggle. But anyway, yeah, so Meowth has... Okay, first of all, we need to mention he has a really cool Rube Goldberg coffee making setup, which I thought was very interesting.
And I just watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure for the first time in forever, and it was the same thing in the opening.
The Rube Goldberg thing?
Yes.
I wonder if that was a reference to that.
Meowth is giving kind of a Pee-wee energy in this episode.
He kind of is. It's chaos. And where's Cowboy Curtis, okay? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Could you?
Lawrence Fishburne's here. It's like the Matrix all of a sudden.
Take the red pill or the blue pill, Meowth?
Oh, Meowth's a red pill.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally. So, Meowth is... I really feel bad for him, like, right off the bat, because he's kind of nobody. You can't trust anybody, and the world is out to get you and fuck everything. I'm just doing my own thing here in the big city. Then his, like, mental illness comes out, and it's very sad because he's, like, Meowthy. He calls himself Meowthy, which is, like, the... man of the house, like the boss guy, okay. or whatever.
Is that when he's wearing the robe, like the Hugh Hefner robe?
Yeah,
because I thought that was a pretty good look for him, actually.
Yeah, he was wearing his like smoking robe, but I did not like his other personality, which was Dollface.
Yeah,
yeah, and Dollface is like in a French maid costume.
So Meowth is sexually harassing himself.
Yes, he is, and then that's about like the extent of that.
His goal for this episode is to make a giant golden statue in the center of town for all the people of Big Town to see of himself.
Very dictatorish of him.
Yes. Meanwhile, the Pichu posse are all here, and Azumarill is screaming at for them. She's like, Azumarill! And they all come running, and they all come, and Azumarill says, okay to everyone, now it's time for you to eat my nuts.
Oh my god.
But Teddy Ursa trips and causes Azumarill's nuts to roll out into the road and they get hit by a truck.
So I have a question. What the fuck was Teddy Ursa's major malfunction? Why did it roll up screaming in the first place?
Because Teddy Ursa's excitable and it loves food more than anything else.
Teddy Ursa is a fucking menace.
All the acorns were run over. They're acorns, by the way. They're all run over and our beautiful brunch of acorns was not going to happen. Then Meowth and Smoochum cross paths, and they're both carrying identical baskets, and they bump into each other and get their baskets mixed up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Please help
me. I'm sorry to interrupt. I fucking hate Smoochum, and Smoochum is a fucking asshole for this. Like, I don't know if you noticed this, but Meowth is standing there completely out of the way, not in the path directly at all. Smoochum is, I don't know, looking at her phone, texting and walking. I'm not really sure. And bumps into him in this entire city. She has a whole sidewalk. No, a whole plaza, actually. She could walk through. She fucking bumps into him and then has the audacity to start screaming at him for being in the way.
Spoochum's a Karen.
I hate her.
So remind me, her basket was full of, like, makeup supplies.
God only knows what the fuck was in that basket. A bunch of trash.
And what was in Meowth's?
A delicious sandwich and, like, an apple and, like, a water. He had, like, he packed himself a lunch.
Okay.
To go to the plaza to, like, build his statue for himself.
So Meowth, who is able to control reality, rewinds time and space so he can see this happen again.
Oh my god, I completely missed that.
Did you not see the rewind function?
Yeah, I did. No, I did. But
like a VCR?
Like yeah, oh my god. I'm assuming this is, like, him playing back the events in his mind.
I guess. Yeah, of course. Meowth finds the Pichu gang and their, like, tire house. And he's like, give me my basket. And there's a lot of mischief that happens, like a lot of really boring cartoony violence that ends with Meowth stepping on the Houndour's there. He steps on the Houndour and it, you know, attacks him or whatever. Somehow Teddy Ursa ends up with Meowth's sandwich lunch and eats it. And so Meowth is like, give me that lunch, but it's already gone. The end.
I feel the anger, like, the rage that's, like, bubbling up inside of me watching this for the injustices that Meowth has to endure at the hands of these fucking menaces. Like, all he wanted was his property back. He just wanted his sandwich. Granted, okay, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to victim blame. Meowth does not have to explain himself. He was just like, wait, please stop. At first, he was being reasonable, I think. But then Smoochum was having her Karen moment. She, you know what she was doing? She was being very... Should I get political?
No, should I not? But go for
it. I was going to say, she pulled like a Nancy Mace, right? Where she's like, oh my God, he hit me. And then like puts her hand in a sling or whatever, even though nothing happened. Very much like sounding the alarm, false alarm. And then all the other ones, of course, do not have the common sense to be like, wait, what's going on? They just immediately jump to her defense and start making Meowth's existence miserable. I hate them. I hate them all. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, fuck you, Nancy Mace.
Yeah, also, she deserves that.
For many reasons. Anyway, so I think that's the end of short one, because now we get like a Comic Sans transition card.
Oh, maybe that's where the break
the
is.
The next day, it says, in like Comic Sans font.
I hate comic. Is it Comic Sans or Comic Sans?
Oh, is it sand?
It's horrible. Why am I saying that? Let me start over. Horrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
It's one of the worst fonts ever. But I guess their budget is like $5, so.
True. So this, now it's the next day. And Meowth still wants to make his golden tribute to himself. And he's going to do it by being a pizza delivery boy. So someone hires the talking cat to be a pizza delivery boy. And gives him 5 pizzas to deliver. And Meowth is more of a schemer in this episode. He's like, I know, I'm going to get the Pichu posse, or the Pokey gang, as he calls them, to deliver these for me. So he enlists them all, and is like, I have a great business opportunity for you. You all can deliver the pizzas, and I'll buy you a pizza at the end of the day.
It's very MLM.
These geniuses all agree, and they all go off to deliver their pizzas. And wouldn't you know it, chaos ensues. Smoochum gets mugged.
Okay, I have 2 things. One, this is Meowth's fault, because after they did what they did to him, why would he go back to them? Just mind-boggling, honestly. 2, was this Ash's Squirtle?
Yes.
What the hell is going on?
It's very clearly Ash's Squirtle with the particular sunglasses. It's the Squirtle Squad, and 2 of his little goon Squirtles are with him, with the blue rounded sunglasses. So this is when I'm like, okay, this doesn't matter because who cares? But this is not canon. This is not canon. It's just not.
Well, no, but we have it's to its discuss. Own thing. We have to discuss this. Like, why on earth are they? Okay, first of all, they pop out of the sewer, which I thought was like hilarious because
teenage ninja turtles.
Squirtles, yes. But why are they acting like this? Why are they mugging her in like broad daylight? This is horrible.
And I know it's silly, but I was like, ooh, this is like 3 men assaulting a woman in the street. It's like, ugh.
I know. I mean, okay, my one thought was, like, she's rounding the corner, and she comes across, like, a road-closed barricade. I thought they were popping out of the sewer to be, like, turn back. You can't come here. This area's under construction. But then they, like, surround her on all sides and then accost her with, like...
For her pizza.
Yeah. I was just shocked. I thought better of Squirtle, honestly.
Well, this is the Squirtle of the big town dimension. Who never reformed his ways.
Yeah, maybe this one never met Ash, actually.
Maybe this is the world where, like, Ash was never born or something.
Chaos. No, actually, I think the world would be better off without Ash in it, causing all the problems.
Mewtwo would have flooded the Earth by now, actually.
That's true.
And Lawrence the Third and Lugia and all that.
Wait, no, but you're assuming if Ash wasn't born, then, like, all this stuff still happened. But, like, who's to say Dr. Fuji was making Mewtwo in a lab? I mean, maybe what's the little girl's name?
Amber.
Amber, maybe she never died.
Ash wasn't born.
Amber would have lived.
Amber would not have died.
So there it is. We've solved the mystery.
Oh boy. Or maybe like Delia stayed with Giovanni and so he never conscripted Dr. Fuji to make Mewtwo in the first place. God. I don't know.
But then we wouldn't have Delia and Oak, and we all know that we ship Delia and Oak here on this podcast.
You ship that more than Delia and Giovanni?
I ship Delia and Giovanni in the Pokemon Live universe in my mind.
Okay. Well, this is the Pichu Brothers universe, so okay, we're in a totally different world. God.
Sure. Okay. Enough of that.
Wooper heroically saves Smoochum, but it ends up with both of them being knocked out when Smoochum falls from the sky and lands on Wooper's face. What else happens? Teddy Ursa is about to eat his own pizza, but Snorlax murders him for his sins.
Dessert.
And what else? What did Danny and Arnie do? I think they both had the same pizza. Oh, they get involved with Houndour, and Magby fucks up because he gets mad. Anyway, so basically, long story short, Meowth is fired for this madness. And now he gets a new job as, like, a groundskeeper for someone's mansion. And the Pichu brother posse, they all feel bad for getting Meowth fired. So they're like, we're going to help him now. And Meowth at first says, no. But then he changes his mind because he's lazy. But rest assured, Danny and Arnold, by the way, Danny and Arnie are what we call the Pichu brothers. Danny and Arnie knock over a very precarious statue of a crescent moon that causes the domino effect that causes the entire garden to be destroyed.
Oh my god.
This is where a flood occurs somehow. Did they knock over a water tower? Is that what it was?
So there's this kind of a neat statue. It's like a globe with like a crescent moon on the top, and it's situated in place by two like anchors. Like it's balanced with two anchors, and then of course the Pichu menaces ruin it and destroy it and topples the whole thing. It knocks down a series of like stone pillars that are like surrounding the courtyard, and then those crash into the fountain.
Okay.
And the fountain is broken now, and it's like spewing water everywhere.
And this is where the very famous GIF comes from.
There's a very famous GIF?
Of all the Pokemon, Meowth, Smoochum, Magby, etc., they're all panicking as they're swept away by the water.
Oh, but then Wooper
is smiling in the chaos as it's being swept away in the water.
Oh my god, you're so right. Can I just Google that real quick?
Wooper. Yeah, I've seen that GIF all the time.
He's like, I'm fine with this. Honestly, he of all the Pokemon, he would be the most fine with it because he's aquatic. So
yeah, exactly.
He's like, I'm not seeing a problem here. Oh, there's the one where he's like eating a mushroom menacingly.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was Hardy the Wooper.
Oh, Hardy, that psychopath. Oh, here's Wooper on a roller skate. I don't know where that's from.
Another Pichu Brothers short.
I'm not seeing the iconic Wooper GIF. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, that one.
Oh my god, I love him so much. Never change, Wooper.
Wooper doesn't change, but Meowth changes his disposition a little bit. Because all of the Pokemon come up to him and they apologize once again. And they give him their precious nuts. And Meowth eats the nuts, even though he thinks they're disgusting. Because he's a refined Meowth and not like one of these gutter trash Pokemon. But he smiles through it as he cries and eats the acorns. And all the Pokemon beam at him. And Meowth thinks, it's like I'm a golden statue after all. The end of that waste of our time.
I mean, aside from, like, the one Wooper moment that we had, yes. But I do appreciate the Wooper.
Are we done with the Pichu Brothers at this point? Like, mentally, are we done with them? Because I think I am.
I am. I am for sure. All I could feel was rage. And also rage at Meowth for, like, being the mastermind of his own destruction. Because I'm like, he even asks himself at one time where he's like, there's no way that they could, like, fuck this up. Could they? And I'm like, if you have to ask the question, and they've also ruined your life, like, up to this point. So I'm not sure why you want to continue to, like, consort with them, but whatever.
I mean, I guess we're going for, like, a Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry, Mickey Mouse, like, you know, wacky comedy cartoon thing with this.
Sure.
But it's not very well done. It's pretty boring.
So, okay, how many more of these Pichu Brothers Chronicles episodes are there?
One Chronicles and the Pokemon Channel special.
That's not completely undoable. It's just a few more.
Just grin and bear it like Wooper.
Just grin and bear it like Meowth eating those nuts.
Eat my nuts. Now, let's flip the coin. You're going first for MVP, LVP, and quote okay. For this episode. I guess we'll count it as one episode, not two.
Okay. My MVP is going to be Wooper, of course. Because of course. How can you not? And I say this even with a Snorlax appearing in the episode. For crushing Teddy Ursa, which honestly, can I just give Snorlax like honorary MVP for killing Teddy Ursa? Honestly, I think Teddy Ursa might be one of the worst of the Pichu Brothers gang. Mm,
they're all pretty bad. I think Magby's probably the best one.
Magby, he's not really problematic.
He has anger outbursts, but they're like pretty not notable.
Sure. Teddy Ursa, one of the worst. Anyway, Wooper forever, Wooper for life. My LVP is going to be God, there's so many options. You know what? I'm just going to say Teddy Ursa, honestly, because of his audacity. The fact that he is a glutton and eats Meowth's lunch, knowing it was a stolen lunch, and then attempts to do the same thing with the pizza. And honestly, this whole thing was his fault in the beginning because he had to run up and scare Azumarill and end up dropping her nuts all over the place. I don't know, kicking off this whole, like, palooza of destruction.
Nutty adventure.
So anyway, my quote, there isn't really, like, a ton because it's just Meowth when he's narrating. I guess the one part where he's, like, having the conversation with himself and his split personalities between Meowthy and Dollface, and he realizes the extent of his mental illness when he turns back into his normal self, and he says, you know, one of these days, I really ought to get professional help.
It's true.
And I'm like, yes, Meowth, I think you would benefit from seeing a licensed professional therapist.
All right. My quote is going to be Meowth also, and it's him as a pizza boy saying, who would have thought a job would be so much work?
Facts.
My MVP, I'm going to give it to Meowth for acknowledging the fact that he needs professional help.
Sometimes you just have to make that first step of admitting that you have a problem.
Proud of him. My LVP is going to be Ash's Squirtle for this life of crime he seems to have endeavored on. Assaulting smoochums in the street.
It was such a shift from like what we know. And I was like, wait, this is wrong. If this Squirtle. Is not Squirtle, what the hell?
Ugh, watch out for those firemen. They'll get you.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Drown you.
All right, that's it.
That was it. Okay. Oh my God, we're done. Okay. All right, Austin, what is next week?
Next week, I think we finally get to Rustboro City, if I'm not mistaken.
Don't do this. Don't give us false hope.
Okay, because the episodes are called Gonna Rule the School and Winner by a Nose Pass.
Okay, so that screams Roxanne to me.
You know what it screams to me?
What?
Roxanne!
Oh, thank you, Sting. I appreciate
that. You don't have to turn off the red light.
Keep that in mind for next week. That's great. I can't wait to get to Rustboro City. Maybe some plot will start happening. Well, any final thoughts, Austin? Anything at all? Nothing? Crickets? Okay.
Nope.
Well, guys.
Crickets.
Thank you guys for listening. Oh my gosh, it's good to be back. We hope that this episode was worth the wait.
PG Brothers. PG always Brothers. An exciting time.
Fucking Wurmples and Franklins and everything. Oh my God.
I hate the PG Brothers at this point.
I know.
I want them to get hit by that truck.
Okay, so write in and tell us how much you hate the PG Brothers. Who is your least favorite Pichu Posse Pokemon? Tell us. We want to know. And you can do that by writing in. We have our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can follow us over on our social media. We have a Blue Sky account that Austin posts some really fun stuff over on. So check that out. Give us a follow. We would appreciate it. We also have an Instagram. You can follow us over there. Same handle, @outofthedryingpan. And we also have a Patreon. If you like what we do and you want to support us, we would super appreciate that. Check us out. The link is in the description. We have all kinds of cool bonus content. And don't forget to leave us a review. 5 stars. We would really appreciate it. It would help us out. And as always, we want to say thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues.